The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has saved you." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. 10 lepers cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." Do they know what they are asking? Is this the simple cry of beggars looking for some scraps and a few coins? Or is this the voice of the desperate, willing to try anything, even this wandering miracle man, if he can heal them? Or is this the voice of sinners praying for forgiveness? Is this even the voice of Jews and one Samaritan recognizing their Messiah and King? Maybe. Maybe not. It's very possible that none of these lepers knew what they were asking, or knew quite how to say it, or even knew what they really needed. Their faith in this Jesus, who they don't call Lord, but they call Master, may be imperfect. It may be joined together with many doubts also. Nevertheless, Luke says that Jesus saw them, and he answered them. He heard their cry, and he answered their prayer. And it is the same with us, dear Christians. What we ask for in our prayers is often downright silly. It may be shallow, or it may reveal more of our doubt than it does of our faith. And still the Lord hears imperfect and imprecise prayers. What mattered was not what the lepers thought that they wanted or needed. What matters is that they brought their prayers to the right person. They called out to God in the flesh, come to redeem them. And thus, when Jesus teaches the disciples and us to pray, he teaches us to pray, "Our Father." He teaches us to pray in and through himself, the Son of God, in the flesh, and to pray as redeemed children, brought into the loving care of a dear Father who is ready and willing to hear just about anything from his children. In Jesus, God is known, and he is known as the Father whose mercy never ends. But this prayer offered up by the lepers, if we can help them just a bit, is, "Lord, have mercy." And this really is the defining prayer of what a Christian is. We usually call the Our Father the perfect prayer. That's the only prayer that gets the name the Lord's Prayer. But Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, stands with it. The Lord's Prayer can take the whole Psalter and summarize it in seven little petitions with a beginning and an end. The simple prayer, Lord, have mercy, is even more concentrated. It is everything we need, everything that we want, and everything that is good distilled into a single petition. That the Lord would have mercy on us. I think to our ears, it's hard to hear this prayer as anything except a confession of sins. It's probably because we know it best from the tax collector in the Gospel for Trinity 11. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Also, the litany that we've been praying boils down to that. A lot of, Lord, have mercy on us. And that is something that we pray in the face of calamities, often in penitential seasons. And whatever time that we reflect on what our sins deserve, and yet at the same time we come and we seek the Lord's gracious care instead, even in spite of our sins. And thus many Lutherans are confused about the Kyrie. They're confused that right after the absolution today, immediately after our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then we sing Kyrie. We sing, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. People have even complained to me about this before. They said, why do we do that? What, are we so obsessed with our sin that we can't even enjoy for a moment that we're forgiven? Now that reaction is strange, though. I think it projects a lot more about the person asking it than about the Kyrie itself. Because the prayer, Lord, have mercy on me, says nothing about sins. Nothing general. Certainly nothing in particular about your sins or my sins. It is not a prayer about us at all. It is a prayer that talks about who God is and what He does. The Kyrie, especially right there before the Gloria in Excelsis that we sing at every divine service, this is not an act of penance or a confession of sins. This is a confession of the highest praise. And elsewhere, like in Matins or in responsive prayers or in the litany itself, Lord have mercy is the quintessential faithful prayer. Because we ought to always call upon God as He wants to be known. The primary characteristic of God in the Old Testament is that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. His mercy endureth forever, we often say. So in the New Testament, we are always directed to God's mercy in the flesh, directed to that great compassion shown in the Good Samaritan's care last Sunday, shown by Christ in all of His healings, shown chiefly in His merciful heart poured out for us. The blood and the water from His pierced side in the sacrifice that redeems you as His own. To pray that the Lord would have mercy on you is to ask God to be who He promised He would be. For the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is not an imposition. It is the highest praise to ask Him for mercy. It is the truest worship of God, not to worship, not to do things for Him, but to receive His working in us. Faith is such worship. And faith out loud, though it may use many words at times, is still best summed up in that prayer, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. It really is the best prayer to be on our lips at all times, but especially when we are overwhelmed with sadness or with the events going on or with troubles, or when we have no other words to say, when we cannot see how there could be a good outcome to what is going on. Lord, have mercy. Pretty much covers everything, to be sure. But it's not a cop-out. It is acknowledging precisely who our God is. That He is the compassionate one. That He is mercy enfleshed in Jesus Christ. And to pray, Lord, have mercy, when you have nothing else to say, is letting that faith form your prayer. Even when your mind and your lips no longer have any strength or any skill left. Faith, not worship, is actually what praises God. By the time this account is over, faith and not worship is what Jesus Himself lauds and praises. If it were all about obedient works pleasing Him, then Jesus would have praised not the one but the nine. They are the ones who did as they were told. And He would have scolded the Samaritan leper who did something else, who came back to Him instead of going to the priests. Now, faith, of course, bears fruit, as our epistle says. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. One that isn't in that list, but really is part of all of them, is thankfulness, which this Samaritan brims forth with toward God, as no doubt the other nine did as well. But only one of their number comes back to Jesus, sticks with Him. Only one returns. Only one recognizes mercy in the flesh. And he doesn't praise God in heaven. He praises God in a man standing before Him. He kneels on the ground before another human. And that man, Jesus, receives that worship because He is incarnate. And that is what most characterizes true and saving faith. That it returns. Perhaps our weakness and our dissatisfaction with the litany, or with any of our Kyries for that matter, is that we do not believe that we ought to return and to seek more. How silly, we think, to pray for mercy when we already know that our Lord has done it for us. But what is this but to despise the Lord, whose mercy is not once, but whose mercy endures forever, as we pray probably every day. The Lord gladly hears every prayer offered to Him in right faith. He hears those who seek His mercy in Christ Jesus. And He has not put off that they pray that He would make the rain miss the parade, or that He would pray that I could find my car keys, or pray that I would pass this pop quiz. Neither is he put off when his children ask that he keep them alive, or that he bring my stubborn child home to me, or that he forgive me yet again. This God delights in showing mercy. Your faith has saved you, Jesus says. Faith that returns continually to Jesus saves. Those who believe Jesus Christ saves return to him. They live from his word. They receive his mercy again and again. They seek it first and always and over. They return to their baptism, which saves, because the Lord's promise does not end. And their faith is hooked in that promise. And they cannot do otherwise. They must return again. They must confess and acknowledge not only their failures, but far more what they believe, which is that God is merciful in Christ Jesus. He heals lepers as he goes to Jerusalem. But that means he heals as he is going to his cross to redeem the world, to redeem me. We bring faith and we bring joy. We even bring, yes, gratitude every time that we pray, Lord, have mercy. Even when we struggling do not fully know what we ought to pray. But thanks be to God, what matters and what saves is that his mercy endures forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.